hey, that looked like my cousin. It's Joan London. It looked like my cousin Fran. Hey, Franny. Franny's beautiful. All the females in the Henry family are gorgeous, which always knocks everybody out because they meet them and they go, how'd you have, you get the same genes as them? Yeah. You know, if I wasn't so fucking weird, if I wasn't so weird and I hadn't indulged in like hallucinogenics and, you know, all the shit that I've done in my life, right? I probably could have had a career briefly as a male model because I wouldn't have beat the shit out of myself. You know, there's because the basic bone structure and shit is there. You know, it's there's somewhere back behind the drug and alcohol ravage. I'm fucking around, although not really, you know. somewhere back in there is the makings of a GQ guy. But anyway. I'm going to say, oh, yeah, so, yeah, Fran. I thought that was you, Fran, wherever you are, Fran. She's in Toronto is where she is. By the way, thank you, Chris Kemp. Chris is a BSP from the beaches in Toronto, and I've come to I haven't really met Chris yet, and I've been back to Canada a couple times just to visit the family, but he is a solid cat, very solid cat. And that cat did the caricature. He does a lot of caricatures. Fuck me. Where the fuck is that goddamn thing, man? It's on the Facebook page. If you go to our Facebook fan page, Phil Henry Show, or excuse me, Facebook.com/ Phil Henry Fans, you will see the thing that I was going to show you. He did the Duffy Brothers. Excuse me for not saying that properly. You know, Henry, you are really something, man. P-H-A-N-S. Okay.
Tighten it up now. You know you can do it now. Come on and tighten up. You can do it.
So, that's what I've been trying to goddamn...
That's what I was trying to fucking tell you, man.
Oh, man. Is that what you mean?
Fuck yeah, but you didn't listen to me.
So, that's from an episode we did of with the Dunphys at Ted's Beverly Hills where they owe Ted money. Ted owes them money because they're bookmakers, local L.A. bookies. And as the lore goes, and I wouldn't know being a law-abiding citizen, but as the lore goes, L.A. hoods are... real second-tier hoods. They're, I guess they're, I don't know, you know. But L.A., like the L.A. Mafia family was always subservient to Chicago. They never really got their shit together out here. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. So the Dunphy brothers are, they're, you know, they're not even Italian. They're, I guess they're associates. Well, whatever, however it works. But they, Ted bets heavily on sports through the Dunphys, and he refuses to pay because he always thinks he's getting... fucked over, so he winds up either getting slapped around by the Dunphys, or they just push their way into Ted's Beverly Hills on a Friday night and push their way onto the bandstand and just start singing, because they really do fancy themselves frustrated entertainers. So they, one night they did If You Knew Susie, the other night they had their niece Dolores Dunphy come in and sing You Light Up My Life and Let Me Entertain You, and I think one night one of them sang Mac the Knife. So, like that.
I've been hurt.
So, that's where that's at, man.
All right? Okay.
Thank you all for sharing with us on Friday night, those of you who came out. I met Bernie was there. Allie was there. Our buddy from the Valley, is it Chris or Jeff? I'm sorry, man. From Sherman Oaks. God damn it. 51. I think his handle is 51. He's from the Valley. Sherman Oaks was there. Any given night, we'll see a smattering of BSPs there at the Hollywood Improv, and it was really a great show. And I had my moments. I did a Pastor William Rennick that went over really well, but we had Horatio Sanz was there. Margaret Cho made another surprise appearance, which I wasn't expecting. It. She's a nice lady, and she. She's popped in twice now during the Phil Henry and Friends show, And she's funny. She was fucking funny and shit talking about her feud with Tilda Swinton over Tilda Swinton wanting to play Asian characters, and she doesn't quite get it about why, you know, Asian actors take exception to that. And the reason being that why get an Anglo to play it when you got an Asian that can play it, you know? Tilda Swinton, on the other hand, according to Margaret Cho, believes that I'm an actress, I can do anything. And she can, and she's a great actress. She's a great actress. But how great is she that she is better at being an Asian than an Asian actor would be? She must be fucking fantastic. She's better at being an Asian than an Asian would be. So, and that isn't just that. I know it's about being an actor and having all the, you know, like, what do you want to call the tools, huh? Mr. Dunphy, easy, huh? I want to tell everybody in the Phil Henry audience what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling right now. So anyway, so that was cool. And see, who else was there? Oh, we had a lot of people. I'm forgetting Sarah Schaefer, Emily Heller. Theo Vaughn was fucking hysterical. Theo's does this white, he's like a white trash comic. He's funnier than hell, honestly. White trash, not redneck. Big difference. it ain't Jeff Foxworthy, which Jeff Foxworthy's great, but white trash is like, this dude's going, got a cousin of mine got bit by this gay dude. Yeah, he got bit by a gay dude, so we'll see if that takes. Just little toss-off things like that. And we had Brent Weinbach, who was very funny. Seth Herzog was great. God damn it. Well, I think I got everybody there. Oh, and Lana Turner, Lahna. Lana's great, and she brings her guitar up on stage and does a lot of shtick that way. And you know something? Every single solitary comic that I've seen and that I know who brings a guitar on stage is female. Now, I know there's some guys that do that, but every single one that we've had, every one that I've ever seen is a woman. You know, Karen Kilgariff, on down the line. And it's kind of interesting. You know, maybe it's because women performers think they need that they need a little extra edge. They need to come up with something different or something a little more presentational. I don't know what it is, but Lana was great, and so it was all good, man. It was all very good. Horatio came out and did a character called Coco Marx. This is Groucho Marx's Hispanic cousin. It was great, and had fun. So if you guys, the first Friday of every month at the Hollywood Improv Lab, which is the smaller room, when you walk into the club, it's dead ahead, as opposed to, I think you do a left or a right turn to go to the big room. The Improv Lab is dead ahead through these curtains, and there's probably not more than 60 seats in the place, and there's a big, beautiful bar there, very comfortable seating, and it's not too, you know, not squished in or crowded or anything, and everybody's cool as hell, and the service is great, and, you know, you just head up to the bar, get a drink, and, you know, whatever you want to do. We have a good time, you know, and always meet good, you know, great people, and I don't know, it's just sort of, here are the folks. Here it is. Here. Why did it go away? You cunt. Here we go. Wait. So, yeah. Lana Turner, Brent Weinbach, Theo Vaughn. The only one not there is Emily Heller and Margaret Cho, who she wasn't even on the lineup. All right, man. So that's the story of this last Friday night. And as far as my performance went, I think I did well with Pastor William Rennick. I think that hit it right out of the park. I should have started off with him. And I opened, Steve Bozell was good. I started with Chris Norton and Jean Jabel was, although Allie was there, she said she thought it was good, but I wasn't too happy with it. Because what I do is I go out and I do characters, and I just basically I'm doing stand-up as a character. If I could synthesize Pastor Rennick, only be Phil Henry, but use that persona, I think I'd be onto something. Because that doing Pastor Rennick. Man, I'm just all over the place with that. You know, I talk about this, that, if that. It's very, very, Pastor Rennick is absolutely unrestrained. But also it's the character, too. You know, the fact that he's a pastor and using four-letter words and shit. Oh, fuck, that's lousy coffee. Who made it? You're looking at him, man. You're looking at him, man. You snooze, you lose. You snooze, you lose, man. So I got my glasses on today. Let's see. Okay. These glasses are the good ones. These are the ones that I can see. So let's see. Monday night, I'm taking an audition class, a class on how to audition. I'm looking forward to that with Robert DiVanzo. And it's a very well thought of class, and there's a lot of people that have recommended it. And then on Thursday, I have a test, which is the same thing, I think, as an audition. But it's a test is like they want to see what you look like on camera, too, for a thing. A thing, you know. Is it a movie? It's a thing. Well, is it going to be on? It's just a thing, man. Well, you know, it's camera. Okay, so there is a camera involved, but you lie to me. Do we who? Oh, and so tomorrow night is the goddamn BCS? I don't know. I just don't get excited about college football. I know I should, but I don't. So I know that I should, but I don't, and so I won't. You know? Those of you new to our show prep, this is what we call a pre-show. If you listen to the audio of this, it's edited, and so there's a lot of dead air. But video, we don't edit. So having a backstage pass, obviously you don't hear the pre-show if you don't have a backstage pass, but watching the video, you do actually see much rawer. You see the exact true rendition of the show. I am watching a replay. That's the boom of the mic. This is camera three, what we call camera three. There's just no way, you know, and I'm too lazy to turn that camera to one of the screens where there isn't a mic boom. I'm watching this game. I don't know the score. I haven't watched it. I taped it. Don't tell me. Ha ha, you can't tell me. Ha ha, because I'm not going to open up the chat box. Ha ha, because I know we're live streaming right now. 3-0 New York. What? That stadium there, Lambeau Field, I took the kids, I told you many times, in the fall of 2003, we went to see the Packers and Bears. And on the sidelines, if you can make it out, right there on the sideline, are little tiny grandstands. And by little tiny grandstands, I mean they're no more than three seats, three levels. Is that rows? Aisles? Rows. Three rows. And they're not much more than 15 to 20 feet long. And these little grandstands, they have them, I believe, on both ends of one of the sidelines, and they might have them on both sidelines, are where special VIP people get to sit. And I got to tell you, I got lucky. Jeff McCarthy with Midwest Communications got us three seats right in one of those little grandstand things. And I was like, I don't fucking believe it. When they said they're going to be sitting on the field, I said, you know, on a bench? I don't know. Where do you mean? And it was just great. You know, stuff's happening right in front of you. I saw, you know, this is back in 2003. It was still Brett Favre, and it was, who are the guys in the backfield? Harris, and they had William Henderson, and they still had, you know, Bubba Franks. And, of course, the kids were all Packer fans, and the Packers won. And we had a friend of mine, Jeff Jagosinski, who was the tight end coach, at the time with the Packers, was also there and got us to see. We looked at the locker room. He gave us a tour of the locker room. He gave us a tour of there's a little Packer Hall of Fame sort of, or a quasi-museum or something, exhibition inside the lower areas of Lambeau Field. And we went down that tunnel, you know, where they got the big sign through, you know, the greatest players in the world pass under this sign or whatever the hell it says. And, of course, I mentioned I stood there in the end zone on the end line. I stood at the goal line where Bart Starr went in behind Jerry Kramer in the Ice Bowl. And other than Jagosinski, the two kids, Chris and Alex, didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. Said, don't you understand? This is where the,
oh, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Because they're a whole different generation of Packer fan. But, and I can't say that I'm a Packer fan. In fact, I was never a Packer fan. Didn't have as much animosity toward the Packers as I had toward the Cowboys or as I had towards, say, the Vikings, these teams that for some reason I always saw them beating the Rams. But I didn't like them. I mean, they represented everything that was traditional NFL. And by that time in my life, in my teenage years, I was definitely an AFL, American Football League fan. Had the Rams been a better team, I probably would have been a major NFL fan, but pfft, I didn't give a shit by that point. And the Packers represented everything that was tired and old about the NFL. The running game, banging a ball down the field with the run, you know, this, that. Where the AFL was wide open, they were throwing a lot, you know, they had all these fleet new receivers, these guys, Otis Taylor, Warren Wells, all these guys. You know, Chargers had John Hadley's throwing a goddamn ball 50 times, 60 times a game. So that's how that came about. But now, I appreciate all of it. Do-do-dee-do-dee-do-do. I've been hurt. Yes, I've been hurt. Do-ee-hoo. I balled down at the 15-yard line, and now the 10, I can't tell. And he hands it off to Clown Browerson, and he runs it to the 20, and he's buried there by the Packer defense, Lloyd McKinnon, Festes Foster, and Jervis Clayton Dixon, David Clayton Thomas, and there is Waylon Jennings. So it's a fourth down, and Bob Fosco will kick. Mr. Hyde is back to catch, and it'll be Dr. Jekyll kicking here. From his own 7-yard line, nice punt, angle to the far sideline, and rolls out about the 45-yard line in Green Bay Pucker territory. So the Pucklers, wow. I don't want to say anything, but the chick doing weather on Channel 2 right now, forget it. I better not say anything. I've been hurt. The fuck is this? I was disappointed in their packing and not being ready for that. These guys are like, they're no shirts on and it's like four below. So what did they get, like frostbite? Now there's a fullback for you, man. Ripponsky or whatever his name is. Ripkonski. Man, that's a fullback for you. All right. Checking out my Twitter feed here for show ideas. So I've been hurt, booty dooty. And you lied to me. Ooh wee. What happened last night? Do we ooh? Saw you with another dude.
Hi, it's nice to be with you, Phil. Hey, it's nice to be with you, Phil. Hey, Phil, it's nice to be with you. Hi, Phil, it's nice to be with you. How are you? Well, we want you to be a member of the yacht club. You don't have a boat, though, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. Are you planning on getting one at all?
I'm not, no.
You're not planning on getting one? God, that's too bad. Hal Needham's here, and he wanted to know.
Got a boat?
He's not going to get a boat. Well, the El Pacifico Yacht Club is opening, and we'd love to have you.
Yeah, that's it, man. What did Craig Hinderhouse was talking to Margaret about what? What's he talking to her about? I forget. It doesn't matter. I'm messing around with that character.
Hi, Phil. Well, we hope that you'd be a part of it. You're not going to be a part of it, huh? Hi, Phil. Right. We wanted you to be a member of our yacht club. Hi, Phil. Well, we sure hope you can be a member of it because we've got lots of people from the El Pacifico area. But you don't have a... Do you have a boat? Do you have a boat?
I don't, no.
You do not. Well, I got misinformed then. I thought you had... Someone said you had a skeeter jack. Did you have... Or either the skeeter jack, the 33-foot?
No, I don't...
Well, who had the Rhodes?
That was my father had a 33-foot Rhodes.
Well, that's a sailboat.
Yeah.
No, we don't accept that. We take only powerboats.
Yeah, I don't have one of those at all.
All right. Well, we certainly would love to have you as a member, but we can't accept you unless you have a boat.
There was a guy when I was a kid that my dad knew. And my dad kept his boat at, Jesus Christ, my dad kept his boat at Newport Beach.
What kind of a boat do you have? Is it a boat that, does it float to?
And this guy, his name was Tom Hansen. Was that his name? There's probably a million Tom Hansons, but this guy was Tom Hansen. Jesus Christ, this guy was the epitome to me of the seafaring guy. His skin was as tanned and dark and leathered up as you've ever seen. His eyes were bloodshot perennially from just so much fucking action from the sun, right? I don't think he was a sunglass-wearing guy. I never saw a sunglass. So all that glare and just beating the shit out of his eyes, constantly fucking. And he was just, but always smiling. And these brown teeth, you know, and he... But the nicest guy in the world, just, you know, how are you kids? You enjoying yourselves? Okay, well, say, when your dad gets here, let him know I'm here. And, okay, Mr. Hansen, all right, great, good for you, good. Have fun, kid, that kind of guy, you know. Always down at his boat. Must have been retired. And he had a beautiful, I think he had a sailboat or a... I don't remember what he had. He had a sailboat. I think he had a sailboat because I don't think my father... My dad was one of those guys. He didn't associate with guys that were powerboat guys. My dad was nuts. He was just like cuckoo. He thought guys anybody under power was like scum of the earth. You know? I don't think he was that. I think it was just me. Maybe it was just more of a healthy competition or something. But he always talked disparagingly of... I don't know, it was a stink pot. You know, for a powerboat. There's a stink pot. I don't doubt the powerboat guys had their little comments about sail guys. All right, so, Craig, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, young man. Good afternoon, Phil. Hey, good afternoon, Phil.
What is going on here? Oh, not more videotape of a fucking... Oh, this is the Fort Lauderdale shooting. Good God almighty. God damn it. These goddamn motherfuckers. This is the gun culture, man. This is the gun culture. This is the go ahead and, you know, let her rip. Psychotic people who are psychotic, that is, who act out in a sick manner. You know, there are murderers who are psychopaths, but they know what they're doing, and they generally try to cover it up or control the situation. A lot of them will commit suicide right after they do what they do. The psychotic ones are the ones that act out in this sick way, and they're into this thing now because that's what the society is sort of, that's the message that's leaking through. Back in the 19th century when Napoleon was famous, all the nutty people thought they were Napoleon, right? You've seen those caricatures and cartoons. And some people thought they were Jesus. And some people thought they were fucking Hitler. And now people are into fucking guns. Why? Because that is the sort of the thing that's vibrating through the culture right now. Now, the alt-right, populated with some of the most despicable human beings the world has ever known, they're holding on to this now, and they're making it racial. Because the guy's last name is Santiago. And another thing here, and another thing here, another thing there. I really believe the alt-right is populated mostly by denizens of the internet. And that's very significant because... Those are people who are disconnected from reality. You can be so online, man. You can live online so much that you lose the perspective of reality and critical thinking, and suddenly you're just there and you're just consumed by the horseshit that you're reading and that you're making yourself a part of. And the next thing you know, you're lost in a make-believe world. You know, if you sit in front of a keyboard all day long and you just interact with people you never meet, and you're getting more and more ratcheted up and more crazy about all these different things that you're reading and all these different things that you're hearing and seeing, you're living in fantasy land. You're not living in reality. You don't have real relationships with people. Those are not real relationships. Online relationships are not real. They're not real. They're only real when you have a physical interaction with people. So what I'm doing is I'm actually quoting to you a paper that I read. It is not original to me. So, all right. Are we ready? Hardly. Excuse me for just a moment here. Money. Fuck. Just got a little thing here I got to do. Hold on. What the hell? Here we go. Is this 1-9? Yeah. Oh, you fucking asshole. All right, no problem. I got time. Shit! I fucking goddamn blew it, man. Fucking got it. Podcast one promo. What is this? Oh, okay, cool. Isn't this fun? This is the fun part of being a subscriber to the Phil Hendry website and seeing a live stream. Well, you see this anyway. If you, it would just be pre-recorded. So you can get the video cast anytime. This is just happens to be live, but it'll drop tomorrow for, the show will drop tomorrow for everybody else. For the subscribers, you're seeing the show early. Today, here it is. Rush, baby, we could just park somewhere.
I don't need nobody's. On the next Beyond the Darkness, we focus on our giant furry forest friends with a startling new twist.
Is that Howard Hoffman? I think that's Howard Hoffman, who used to do imaging for KABC and KLOS. Maybe still does. But, you know. All right, man. Never, you know, pick of the litter. You know, you just never know what you're going to get, man. All right, dude. All right, man. Say, we ready? I think we're ready. Teddy.
I'm ready. Ready, ready, ready. I'm ready. What you going to do when the well runs dry?
What's the deal, man? Okay. If I actually pushed my glasses up, I could just do this. Instead, I was like... All right. Okay. Wait, hold on. Ow, my hand. I hate that fucking phone bed so much. God damn it. All right, man. We're ready to go. Fuck this shit.
Hello.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed.
Well, horse is a horse. All right, testing 1-2. Testing 1-2-3. 1-2-3. 1-2-3. All right, I think I got it, man. All right, dude. Is this it? It is.